5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob will join us in a little bit. Chris is with me right now. We got a little bit to talk about. We're going to go back into 2007 through a wonderful pay-per-view that we like to call No Mercy at the Allstate Arena. First pay-per-view at the Allstate Arena since WrestleMania 22.
And I believe so, yeah.
It would be the last one at the Allstate Arena, I believe, until Judgment Day 2009.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, and it's an absurdly long time, which, I mean, granted, not as long as from Backlash 01 to WrestleMania 22, but still pretty long. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about going on in WWE and in AEW. But first, man, let's give Chris his flowers because he had a wonderful piece on Awful Announcing and their whole scenario for Bayley, interviewing Bayley, which if you've followed Chris for the last decade or so, this man is the biggest Bayley mark that you'll ever meet. And to be able to conduct the interview in a professional capacity is worth, you know, giving the love and getting the credit for. And then on top of that, you got to, you know, have Bayley sign a laminated copy of it, man. How cool was that?
It was pretty awesome. When I found that out, so it was actually funny. It wasn't originally supposed to be Bayley who did that meet and greet. It was supposed to be Bianca, but they have not had Bianca return yet from when Damage Control wrote her off TV for a little bit. So it got switched to her, and I saw that happen. And my first reaction to it was, okay, well, I've interviewed her professionally. If I don't say anything, it would be kind of weird if I just did that. So at first I wasn't going to go. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, I could print out that front page of the article, probably get it laminated and get it signed, keep it as a keepsake, frame it someday, put on my desk that I'm eventually going to get in my room. I eventually just made that happen. So it was really cool. I got there. I left my house pretty early. I wasn't sure what to expect because it was a free meet and greet, obviously, but the line wasn't awful. It was long enough, but I got there early enough to get a decent spot in there pretty quick. I went up. I did introduce myself. I had said, you know, I don't want to throw you off, but I'm Chris. I had interviewed you for something I'd showed her, and you know, she was appreciative of it. She was at the time, and she had mentioned this at the time too. And she said on that Friday that, you know, usually she doesn't get to go down memory lane like that. It's always just one thing to the next, one town to the next, one show to the next. So she was appreciative of the time that we took to do that. I got it signed, got the picture. It was awesome. 10 out of 10 experience.
No, that's wonderful, man. We all, you know, we all want to be able to incorporate our life and our work in, you know, similar regards like that, being able to cover your favorite team, you know, being able to be in there interviewing the manager or your favorite player. And, you know, that just sounds like a wonderful experience. And then on top of that, you know, listen, like, in journalism, in reporting, you know, you are basically ingrained in you, you know, to be hard line and to not blend that side, you know, and it's really why I can't ever cover the Bears. And like, I'm here in Philly for a reason, because I know that if I ever color the Phillies or the Eagles or whoever, it is, I'm a neutral party. I might root for them, I'll be happy for them, but I'm not as emotionally invested, you know? But at the same time, like, we are still fans. You never rip that out of us. You're never going to be able to rip that part out of us. You just might have to subdue it at times, but it never truly goes away. So to be able to do that, you know, professional wrestling, who gives a shit? You've got to meet and interview one of your favorite professional wrestlers and then have it acknowledged after the fact. So that's pretty fucking entertaining, man. Congratulations on that. Rob, welcome on to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got sick. I went to Mexico and then I got a cold.
That's great. And that's not great.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I got a cold, even though it was like 110 degrees every day. So I'm getting over that right now. But other than that, yeah, doing well. Nice to be back. There's a lot going on. So that's fun.
How was Mexico? Did you enjoy the barrio?
It was fun. Like, you know, we were at a resort, so I didn't really leave the resort all that much. And, you know, by the fourth day or whatever, I was ready to go home. But it was a nice time.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, you got to get out of this stinky country for a little bit, even if it was 100 and something degree weather. Let's start on the WWE side. We've had season premieres of both SmackDown and Raw, if I'm not mistaken. We got the Judgment Day meme in both of them. So that's pretty funny. On SmackDown, we got a little bit of a surprise, and it may not have been a surprise to some people because, you know, I saw on some dirt sheets the next day around like 5 or 6 Eastern Friday that Nick Aldis was in the building. Why else would Nick Aldis be in the building? You know, he's been doing some backstage stuff more often. You know, why would that be news for Nick Aldis to be in the building? Well, he's in the building because he's now the new general manager of SmackDown. Adam Pearce, general manager of Raw now. But SmackDown getting a brand new face, and it is 36-year-old former NWA champion Nick Aldis.
Yeah, I think so. I know obviously when they signed him, you know, there was an expectation of, okay, is he going to produce? Is he going to wrestle? Realistically speaking, I think this is the best way for him to be introduced as a character in WWE, because in 2023, it's hard to really note or quantify interest in anything for wrestling that isn't AEW or WWE into a lesser degree Impact. So NWA really isn't on the map. So I guess it is somewhat disrespectful to the company because they're on the CW now. Good for them. But they're obviously not, they don't have a significant enough footprint. So they debuted Aldis cold, probably wouldn't have gotten much of a reaction considering he didn't have much of a reaction besides being the GM on Friday. So if they build him along, he's a good talker. I've never seen him wrestle or perform or do anything, but I got the vibe that he's a good talker, and we've seen with LA Knight what that can do for an audience in WWE. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to get as over as LA Knight. I'm just saying that talking definitely enhances the crowd there. That's just how it is and how it's always been. And, you know, eventually he can get physical, and that's why it works for him to do this. And, you know, he could be introduced as a wrestler later on, but he's a guy who can get physical when necessary. That's why he's only 36. He's still got a lot of tread. He's got some tread on his tires, but wrestling is an old man's game now. So when he eventually meets his annoying match, he will probably get physical. He'll get in a match. You know, maybe it's Miz someday if that happens, but obviously not now because he's on Raw and all this is on SmackDown. But yeah, I mean, I'm all for it just because I have no idea what to expect because I've never seen him. So cool.
Yeah, I think it also kind of helps make the shows feel different, which we're always kind of looking for, agreed. You know, as different as they can feel. You know, Adam Pearce being on both shows, just it kind of all ran together at one point. And, you know, obviously Adam Pearce has hands full with stuff going on Raw. And, you know, it's a really good way to bring Aldis in, I think. And it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. You know, really didn't do a whole ton on Friday, but, you know, it's week one. So, you know, we'll see where he goes from here.
One thing I'll say, he didn't do a lot. That's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've seen through the Ruthless Aggression era what it looks like when the GMs are way too all over the show, when their fingerprints are all over the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessary.
Yeah.
For all the gripes that I have with her, for all the stuff that she's done for herself to warrant criticism, when Saraya, formerly known as Paige, was the SmackDown GM when she was barely in any focus or whatsoever, it's probably one of the better times that they've done a GM in WWE. Same thing with Regal in NXT. Use them when necessary and have them just come off as a respectful voice.
Yep.
They don't need to be getting all over the shows like McMahon's were in a distant time period from before.
Nope. Yeah, and like you guys said, that's kind of a perfect spot for him right now. I ever think Nick Aldis is going to be like main event level guy for WWE? No. Can he still be that? Yeah, he's 36. In this day and age, 36 is the new 30. You know, when you put that up against a guy like Finn Balor, who turned 40 recently, like Nick Aldis has got some time to stake his claim younger than Roman, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's never wrestling again. This is just an innovative, creative way of getting you, the American viewer, to know who Nick Aldis is without overpowering you with him. And then making you not like him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, when it comes time, like, there's a reason for him to wrestle, then people will see, oh, you know, he can actually wrestle. And then from there, you know, either he becomes a full-time wrestler or he just kind of stays in the GM role and, you know, wrestles when necessary. It's actually a really good setup.
Yeah. Yeah. So interested in seeing what happens with that. Very interested in seeing what Adam Pearce is going to do on Raw. Are they just going to stay like neutral GMs, which like, hey, we don't need the character shit. Just be an authority figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be a fucking authority figure and everything's going to get over fine. Someone who an authority figure who is making a heel turn, though. Tony Khan has been, for lack of better phrasing, wilding over the last couple of weeks. He publicly took shots at WWE when he had to move to Tuesday because of the National League playoffs, and WWE just loaded up for NXT. Got all the big names, Cena, Taker, Cody, all the big names to come up on NXT, and they pulled a huge rating. And Tony Khan wanted to act like it was war, and we were going on war. And, you know, we just did this. We've done this a few times. And I guess for Tony Khan to do it, especially now when it's very clear, like you embraced it at the beginning. That's one thing. You embraced it when it was good for your business. When your business is looking very good because the other ones are putting on good work and yours is kind of, it don't really come off as strong.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, like, in a vacuum, you know, the tweets themselves don't bother me. Like, you know, it is what it is, whatever. Like, you know, you want to call Triple H and Shawn bald assholes or whatever, okay, who cares? Like, but, you know, considering, like, the other big thing that people took away from Dynamite last week that Tony clearly knew people were talking about and just refused to address publicly, you know, not a great look. And it just, I don't know, man, like, I get it. Like, he really did think that, like, he was going to be the one to take down WWE and kind of in the early goings. Like, they did have some momentum, you know, like right when they brought Punk and Danielson in. But really, ever since Cody jumped and then Vince left, it really hasn't been close. And I don't see how it will ever get close again, to be honest with you, just with how things are trending for both. And that's not saying, oh, AEW is going to go away, AEW screwed. I don't believe that. But you know, they had a shot to actually rattle WWE and, you know, didn't do it. And now we're here and you're just good luck trying to get that back. It was kind of a lightning in a bottle sort of thing. And, you know, I mean, I'll watch AEW when there's something interesting, usually Collision. I'm not going to be like, oh, Tony Khan's tweets make me not want to watch the show. I think if you say that, you weren't going to watch the show in the first place.
That's right.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, he also, I know Fulham fans aren't happy with him right now because he's focused so much on wrestling. And Fulham, I think, is 12th in the Premier League or whatever at this point. And you know, I think Jags fans are okay with him at the moment, but that could change at any minute. And it's just like, I don't know if his priorities are necessarily in order.
Probably, you know, not.
I think at this stage, it's 2023. It's been 4 years since Dynamite was a thing. It's been about 4.5 years since they've been a thing. The woe is me bullshit here is just it's really just the most annoying part of it. Like, like you said, the tweets or whatever, I think they are embarrassing for a guy in his position to be doing. I know that he's a wrestling promoter. We don't have to expect better because pro wrestling has always been bad, and that means that it always has to be that way.
Mm.
But whatever. It's just like you're not the ragtag mom and pop shop. Don't give me this crap about oh we started in a parking lot, now we're here. Yeah, you started in a parking lot at TIA Bank Field, the field of the Jaguars, the team that you and your dad own, brother.
Yeah.
We can see through this bullshit by now. It's 2023, especially online. You see it everywhere that you go. Okay, yeah. So selling it on that point is stupid. Secondly, furthering that point, NXT loaded up the show because they had an unusual visitor enter their neighborhood on the night, right? So, and they decided to invite everybody, who's everybody, to have the biggest party on the block. And the other person, the other people that were just visited, didn't do anything.
Yeah,
I don't understand this thing of, oh, NXT loaded up because AEW showed up. Okay, why didn't AEW do anything to help their show?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, the Elite... The Elite weren't on. You know, Danielson, he wrestled Swerve. That was good. But, like, you know, the top guys, they don't really have them, like, in the roles that they should be at these times. And it's – I think the other thing, too, you know, everyone wants AEW to be competition to WWE until the second WWE starts treating them like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have it both ways.
No, and I just don't understand why everyone is so mad that NXT loaded up. They are that's AEW came to them. They didn't go to them. It wasn't that way. It was AEW was on a dissimilar night, which probably also led to them not having a lot of viewers, because as we continue to go along, also with 4 years, why I don't understand that they keep adding shows. Their fans want to watch wrestling on one night, Wednesdays. Yeah. That's it.
And listen,
they don't want to do anything else.
Like, their rating will be fine. They'll get, you know, 850,000 or whatever they usually get tonight. And, you know, everything will be back to normal. And it kind of already has been. Like, you know, NXT's numbers are up still. Not where they were last week, but still up. They've been up for most of the year now. But, yeah, it's just like it comes off as real gotten to. And I think the thing about Tony Khan, he thinks that he's Paul Heyman when he's kind of closer to Dixie Carter, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, that's a good way to put that one. That's a good way to put that one, sir.
Yeah, they'll, like you said, they'll pull their usual numbers now. I guess they do. I guess because it's not going to be on the same night. But NXT is starting to really build up a significant audience. They have a lot of attention on them now. Obviously, AEW is not coming close to Raw or SmackDown numbers. SmackDown, especially, just because they're on local television now. But yeah, it's boring to me to keep doing this. And it's like you got to have some other identity other than just going after WWE all the time.
There is a Friday Night War next month with SmackDown and Collision the night before Full Gear, I believe the 17th or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that should be fun.
Jesus Christ. That's gonna be very, this will be very silly.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like the other thing is kind of like I said, you know, Tony Khan had an angle on his show was getting mainstream attention, and he just plowed right through and pretended he didn't see it, while also, you know, getting mad at fans who pointed out that maybe they shouldn't have done that.
Oh, he sure did, as I uncovered. So they ran that angle. I understand that Juice Robinson has been hitting people with quarters, but maybe let's not put the Jewish surname on the quarters, huh?
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, that's just a little bit too much.
If listen, it's bad either way. If he writes MJF on there, there's some plausible deniability. If you write Friedman out there,
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. You know what you're trying to do. And if he's not anti-Semitic, and I'm not accusing Juice Robinson of being anti-Semitic, he's an idiot, though, for doing that.
Yeah.
At best, you're dumb, and at worst, you're completely ill-informed, because you should know what the stereotype is, especially considering that not even less than a month ago or whatever, there was a derogatory sign pushed in MJF's direction, anti-Semitic, about dropping a quarter or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's just happened. Like, it just happened within the last month.
I mean, in considering, you know, what's going on in the Middle East right now, it's not hard to tell, you know, and it's not, you know, this ain't a, you know, we're not going to get into the weeds of all that because it's very convoluted and complex. Mm-hmm. But I think we can all agree that there's some things that are tasteful or sorry. There's some things that are just like lacking tact. That happens in pro wrestling, and we have to get away from thinking that, oh, it's okay because I'm the one affected and I'm telling a story and da 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 da. No, like, we don't have to always do that. Well, we don't.
Exactly. And like, the other thing is, you know, historically, when has wrestling ever handled like a real life situation?
Never.
Well,
never.
You know, maybe never. They will this time. Never. Like, if they do, good for them. You know, good for MJF overcoming it.
But it's still like, tasteless.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. Like, whenever things happen like this or whatever, everyone is always like, well, X and XYZ signed off on it. They were okay with it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't care.
Yeah.
If something is good or if something is bad, I don't care if someone signed up on it, especially don't care if I think it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is appropriate. I'm not gonna care if someone was like, oh, well, they thought it was okay. Cool. Yeah. Have some sense, have some restraint. Your wrestling bit can wait a week or two. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I mean, just no self-awareness or any awareness for the world around you if you're doing stuff like that. Yeah. And especially if you're gonna get panned for it, and then if you're gonna go a week without saying anything, mm-hmm. I mean, what are they gonna do when Dynamite starts or sometimes during Dynamite? What's gonna happen? Is Tony gonna be on the TV? Is he gonna apologize and is he gonna say that they're gonna donate to charity? Is that what they're gonna do? Like, okay, fine, but why didn't you just do that a week
in the first place?
Why just quiet for a week?
Especially they're probably gonna not acknowledge it and have Juice win the battle royal or whatever.
Yeah. Stupid.
And then MJF's going to hit him with the quarters next week and win, and then that'll be it. Which, stop. I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about one other wrestling executive real quick, though, and that's Vince McMahon, who might be dead.
I'm sorry, what?
He's not around anymore, man. They got rid of him. They swindled him.
I'm sorry, dude. You can't just drop that out of nowhere and then expect me to understand. Like, I'm thinking you got breaking news happening right now.
Not yet. I mean, he might
be. Not yet, but maybe one day.
He'll
be dead.
Clearly got played by someone smarter than him.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Someone with no loyalty to him either, which...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Ari Emanuel has no loyalty to that dude at all.
Not a one. And I mean, like, you know, are you shocked?
No, not really, not at all, to be honest.
Not at all.
Like, to a degree, like, sure, like, would it be shocking if the old white dude got his way? No, not really. But at the same time, it's like, no, actually, I'm not really surprised, especially considering the SEC's after him. The government's watching like a hawk, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody really wants him there.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that he got played. I think it's just funnier and just a touch ironic as well.
Hilarious. It really is. And especially with the mustache. Yes. For it to happen while he's mustachioed McMahon.
Yeah.
Because it only has to be a caper stash. anything else before we go back to 07?
I don't know, man. You know, we're 6 weeks out. Do you think CM Punk is showing up? Everyone kind of threw cold water on it at the same time, which was interesting.
I never did, so...
Fair.
You know. I don't feel vindicated for it not. It's kind of like he does or he doesn't, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Like, if the crowd expects him to show up, do I think they'll do the thing where they turn on the show? Probably not. They don't really do that anymore. And yeah. I think if he's not there, it might be Randy Orton, which, you know, people will.
That's a very, that's a plus.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't, like, again, they don't really have those crowds anymore. The show was sold out, you know, well, Punk still worked for AEW, to be honest with you. So, like, you know, I think the people who are going are just happy to be there and see War Games or whatever. And, you know, it's just, it's not like it used to be.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you're a neckbeard, you probably still care. I don't know how many, like, actual human beings still give a shit about CM Punk not being there. You know,
yeah, I mean, like, I'd like to see him show up, and if he does, he does. And I mean, if he doesn't, he doesn't, really. Like, do I think maybe they should rein in all the teases they've been doing on Raw and SmackDown if he's not going to be there? Probably, but like,
yes, but who else? You know? Who knows? Maybe what's the name is going off the grid.
That's true. Rory's doing it. Seth's been doing it a little bit. You know, I mean,
maybe they're just fucking around. I'm just gonna go ahead and be under the assumption that, hey, I think these guys are fucking around and trying to get the right, because I don't see Seth ever truly wanting to work with that man or even being like, yo, it's business. Folks was bringing up that fucking old Roman Reigns quote about, oh, I'd do it if it's right for business. No, you won't. Yeah. You probably don't want to. And like, yeah, I get you. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Roman would. I don't know that Seth would necessarily, but you know.
Right. 2007, we just wrapped up Unforgiven a little while back. We're on the road to a real, real clunker of a fucking pay-per-view in No Mercy.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one guy who can't get hurt with how the roster is at the moment, it's John Cena, and got some bad news.
Yeah, I got some bad news.
Top five songs, up to number five, Bartender by T-Pain. Staying at four is The Way I Are. Staying at three is Big Girls Don't Cry. Staying at two is Stronger. And staying at number one is Crank That for another week. Top five movies, Halloween is down to five. Superbad's down to four. Mr. Woodcock is debuting at three. 310 to Yuma is down to two. And The Brave One debuted at number one.
The Brave One?
Yeah, I don't remember The Brave One. It's by Warner Brothers, so probably had some
animation, maybe.
Jodie Foster and Terrence Howard.
What? Oh, I thought you were like, yo, they got together.
No, they're the two leads, and yeah, I don't remember anything about this movie.
Now I'm like, wonder if they get together in the movie, because that's such an odd pairing. Jodie Foster is probably like really skittish, and Terrence Howard is like, yo, you fucking with my mole, man. That's a good, interesting cast right there.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the number one movie. So can move on to the NFL here. NFL week two. We did NFL because we did Unforgiven. So we'll move right to Raw. First, we do Monday Night Football. The Washington football team moved to 2-0 on the year with a 20-12 win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles had four field goals by David Akers, and that's it.
Yeah, Chris Cooley caught a touchdown pass, and Clinton Portis ran for another.
Yeah, I don't really know what happened to the Eagles in this game, but it fell off.
This was a down year for Philadelphia. They were 8-8 this season.
That's fair.
I think if I'm not mistaken, yep, the next week is the Kevin Curtis game.
Oh, okay.
In those jerseys, you know the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is the Kevin Curtis game.
Ew, in the little yellow and
the yellow and blue ones.
I fucking hate those. Anytime I see those in the parking lots, I'm just like, dude, do you not feel like just a fashion nightmare wearing that? The fuck?
Yeah.
So ugly.
All right. Raw from Nashville, Tennessee. John Cena's here. He's going to have a last man standing match with Randy Orton at No Mercy. Well, he's not, but
yeah.
Said a lot of pent up aggression lately, but it's all good now. He lost to Randy last night, but it was by disqualification. He got to take all his aggression out. It was a good thing. Since the last man standing match, he can do whatever he wants to Randy. Coach comes out and says that he's mad because Cena defied his orders at the pay per view. Now, tonight, Cena's dad is going to face Orton. That's your big hook. Shelton Benjamin is in action against Jeff Hardy for the Intercontinental Championship. really good match. Obviously, they've wrestled like 50 times in the past 3 years, but, you know, good stuff. Jeff wins with the Swanton. Good stuff. Vince is in the limo with Hornswoggle, who's eating Lucky Charms because he's a leprechaun, you see. And he tells Hornswoggle to follow Coach. Cena tries to talk his dad out of wrestling, but he won't listen. Coach is going to strip Cena if his dad doesn't wrestle, and Cena's dad won't let that happen. Hacksaw and Daivari have a flag match. And Daivari's representing Iran. I believe there was some sort of U.S.-Iran stuff going on at this point. Sounds right. I don't know. Probably should have just been on Heat.
Probably shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So Cena told Coach call out the match. Coach said that Cena has a match tonight, and if he wins, then his dad doesn't have to wrestle. But if he loses, then he does have to have the match. Vince was here. A nice couple was ready to adopt Hornswoggle. He's small, so he's a child. Get it?
Yeah. Again, he's a grown adult. Like, I know he's, you know, small, but he's an adult.
JR with the line of the week saying Vince McMahon smiles about as much as Charlie Weiss these days, which is not often.
Good stuff. That's good.
Hornswoggle scared them off before they could sign the papers. Vince got mad at him, and then Triple H came out, made a bunch of jokes, and now he's going to have to face Kane and Murdoch because this is 2006 again. Do this again. Triple H defeated them both in a handicap match. Lenny and Kendrick came down to save him in a post-match, and he beat him up. I have no idea why. I guess he didn't ask for anybody's help still.
What Paul London gets for smiling when Vince was going to die.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Team of Candace and Maria defeated Melina and Jillian Hall.
That is a 2007 ass Divas match.
Sure is.
Golly.
Cena faced Santino. Orton came out, beat him down for disqualification, so he won. Well, yes, but Coach came out and said that he forgot to say that it had to be by pinfall or submission. Oh, Jesus Christ. So Orton versus John Cena Sr. will actually happen. Sorry to hear that. Handcuff John Cena to the ropes and let him watch the beat down.
Wow. Yeah, I gotta say, they are doing a really good job. ECW from Atlanta. Elijah Burke says that Punk got away with one at Unforgiven. If they fought 10 times, Burke would win 9 out of 10, but Punk got his one, so now it's time for Burke to get his rematch. Next time they wrestle, Burke will win. Kevin Thorne would also like a shot, so would Tommy Dreamer, so would Stevie Richards. Armando Alejandro Estrada comes out, says they're going to have an elimination chase to decide the next number one contender. So tonight, the four of them will have a fatal four-way, and the guy that gets pinned will be out, and then next week they'll have a triple threat, and same thing, and then they will be down to a singles match. Cool, I guess.
Yes.
Stevie Richards gets pinned because, you know.
He's Stevie Richards.
For. Yeah. Baltimore.
By the way, have you guys seen Stevie Richards is doing like this JT O'Sullivan style? Like breakdown of matches online. I find that to be an incredible second act for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually really cool. Kind of similarly, like Maven is just doing like the YouTube like 15-minute videos about questions and stuff, not kind of like a podcast, but just on his own. And it's cool. It's a really cool kind of evolution. You know, because not everyone needs a podcast. Stevie Richards doesn't have enough stories to fill, you know, 2 hours every week. But you know, to do a 10 or 15 minute video, that's perfect for him.
And think about how much help you're being for the next generation of pro wrestlers to get to dissect why things in the ring or behind the scenes or whatever went right and why they went wrong. And so folks can see it from someone with the experience, someone with the technical prowess of doing that. I think more wrestlers need to be doing that. Because I find myself getting sucked into JT's videos or who knows, this is another cat I'm forgetting about, and just watching them break down quarterback play, because you get to learn coverages and you get to learn routes and why certain routes are being run against certain styles of coverages, and it works so well for someone that's just trying to get a better understanding of the offensive game. And for pro wrestling, you can do so much of the exact same. In order to teach people psychology and, you know, when to ramp it up, when to tone it down. I haven't caught a lot of it, but from what I've seen from Stevie Richards, that is a wonderful second act. More folks need to be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Baltimore Honey defeated Mike Knox and Viscera defeated Boogeyman to end ECW.
Yes. So let's move to SmackDown. Crystal and Teddy Long are getting married tonight in Atlanta. And the Ying Yang twins are here.
The fucking Ying Yang twins are here.
But Hornswoggle was not. Batista was challenging the Great Khali to a he was challenged to a Punjabi prison match. Mark Henry's here now as well. He's facing The Undertaker again next week on SmackDown. Mark's going to end his career, which he's mentioned before, but has been unable to pull off so far. He wants to face Batista as a warm-up, though, and it can even be a non-title match. Batista thought Mark Henry was stupid for that, but he accepted anyway. Be blunt. Jimmy Wang Yang defeated Jamie Noble in a very 2007 SmackDown match, followed by another 2007 SmackDown match of Deuce and Domino, defeating Matt Hardy and MVP in a non-title match.
Really bad heel tag team versus hodgepodge rivals in a tag team. Yeah, that's to the end winning. That's 2007.
SmackDown, sponsored tonight by the PlayStation 3 and the brand new Wendy's Baconator.
Wow. No way. 2007.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. One of the greatest inventions of the 21st century is the Baconator.
I still need to have one.
You've never had a Baconator?
I've never had a Baconator.
It's pretty much just like a loaded junior bacon cheeseburger when you think about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Still worth it.
We got Hacksaw Butch Reed on hand for the wedding, so all the stars are here tonight.
It's wonderful. It's such a wonderful segment.
Michael Cole is interviewing Rey Mysterio in the ring. Since Rey came back, things have been going well for him. JBL says Cole's giving him softball questions, starts yelling. JBL would fight Rey, but his announcer's contract won't allow it, so Finley will instead, and he comes out and cheap shots him.
It's not very nice.
No. Crystal's backstage with Vicky, who is her maid of honor. Jagged Edge show up and sing a song. Teddy's in the back again with his, his son or his grandson, and Butch Reed and Ron Simmons shows up, and Bruce is there, and doing some guy talk about Crystal.
Yeah, guy talk, man. Nothing to see here. Just guys being dudes.
Fuck. Khali comes out, and Mark Henry versus Batista really never gets going because he just kind of attacks them both, which whatever. It's time for the wedding. Bruce is going to be the officiant here. Jagged Edge comes out, sings another song, and then Jillian sings a song. Very good.
They sung Let's Get Married, and one, Bruce is doing the jig. He's doing the two-step, the Drew Hill two-step, and then Teddy Long. Oh, my God. Well, sorry, two parts about this that actually we need to talk about. Teddy Long getting to the mic and with the funniest fucking ad-libs. I said, I love you. I love you. Hilarious. And then the part that gets shared the most on the internet, and it's amazing that we've just picked up on it and ran with it, is Jeff Hardy bopping in the front row.
Oh yeah.
to Jagged Edge. Because if you're gonna learn one thing about the black wrestling population, we love us Jeff Hardy. We love Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy is an adopted son in the community. It's just so funny. It's so random in the crowd because fucking Vince's front row with Hornswoggle and Jonathan Coachman is just so annoyed. Everything about this wedding, this might be. I'm not saying it is, because I think like the endings of a lot of weddings have like really sold it. But the actual wedding might be the best wedding that they've done.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very good.
So good.
Yeah, so Jillian does her song and it's bad, and they get back on track and they're about to do the vows and such, and the Godfather comes out. And,
oh my God.
You know, does his whole bit, tries to talk Teddy out of it, and Teddy's going to stick with it though, so here we go again, but this time Hornswoggle comes in and crawls under Crystal's dress and causes a scene. Then they get that taken care of, and she finally says, I do, and then as Teddy's about to, he has a heart attack. So that's not great.
Listen, 2007's a bad year, but this was fucking comedy.
Oh yeah, no, this is great.
It was so good. Everything about it was so good. Godfather coming out, trying to get Teddy. And you really thought for a second Teddy was going fold. You really thought Teddy was going fold, because how can you not when the Godfather's bringing all that around? He's like, no, I'm going to stay true. And of course, you just did it 5 years ago. Thankfully, Teddy's still alive. You didn't kill off Teddy Long like you did Al Wilson.
It's true. It's
same formula. Listen, same drug, different color jail cap is all. And honestly, it was better.
Yeah.
They did wonderful. Wonderful with this wedding.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. One of the highlights of the year so far. All right, so move on to the next week. Top five songs. Up to five is AO Technology. Down to four is Big Girls Don't Cry. Up to three is The Way I Are. Down to two is Crank That. And up to number one is Stronger. So Kanye's second number one hit.
I'm blanking. Left. What was the first one? Was it Gold Digger?
Gold Digger, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think this is probably his last song that gets to the top of like the actual chart. I know he had a bunch that got close or got to the top of the, one of the genre-specific charts. But, yeah.
It's interesting because, since they've, changed the parameters of, how you make the Hot 100, it feels like it's so fluid. And if you get number one or number two or even top five nowadays, it's really just because, folks played the shit out of your song the first week it came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's actually shocking to me that that's probably his last number one as as the featured artist. So
it is for the record. I'm looking through.
I feel like he had a feature, but
the highest he got after that was Heartless was number two. Love Lockdown was number three on 808.
Yeah, that's the highest. That's interesting.
Forever got up to eight. Watch the Throne lead song on there at number five. I'm not saying that for an obvious reason right now. That's fine.
Hey, for a second I was like, you mean Otis? Because Otis was the first single. But then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking
then,
about.
Then 4 or 5 Seconds was up to number four. That's
shocking.
That's the highest one there. And then I Love It and Follow God got six and seven. And then and Hurricane got six. So, yeah.
Okay, well. Fuck Kanye at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a little shocking.
Very right. much so.
Top five movies. Up to five is Eastern Promises. Down to four is 3:10 to Yuma. Down to three is The Brave One. Debuting at number two is Good Luck Chuck. Debuting at number one is Resident Evil Extinction.
Good Luck Chuck, never watched, but all you need to know is Dane Cook fucking sucks. And the whole Dane Cook blowing up experience never made sense to me at the time. And fast forward 16 years later, when now we know that he's dating someone that's maybe 10 years younger than me, or married to someone that's 10 years younger than me, has been dating her since he was a fucking child. We didn't need that thing to happen.
No.
Yeah.
We really did not need that to happen.
Not at all.
And if you are a Good Luck Chuck, if you watch Good Luck Chuck, you're like, wow, Dane Cook is me. You are a fuckboy.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to college football. This week was pretty uneventful. Most of the higher ranked teams won. On Friday night, Miami beat 20th ranked Texas A&M. They led at 31-0, ended up winning 34-17. So the Canes pulled off an upset by the number. The game was in Miami, though, so they might have been favored in that game. Who knows? Who's to say?
Was that one of the last games at the Rose? This is last year for the Rose Bowl, ain't it?
I think you mean the Orange Bowl, right?
Orange Bowl.
Yeah. Because that's the year that Virginia beats them. Yes, Virginia
at the Orange Bowl.
Yep, 48-0. Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, was Brian Patta 06 or 07?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I feel like we're either coming up on that or we passed it last year.
Yeah.
But
I think it was 06.
That 06 sounds a little bit more right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 06.
Okay. Let's see. So Cal, which is up to sixth in the nation, defeated Arizona 45-27. So they are going to continue to be a presence in the college football world this year. Florida ranked third in the nation before they're about to fall off the wagon. here. They beat Ole Miss 30-24. Also, in his first game against Georgia, Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide lost 26-23 to the Bulldogs. The game was in Tuscaloosa, and you know, Georgia ended up beating them in overtime on a Mikey Henderson touchdown reception from Matthew Stafford. But Bama, they'll get him next year. won't be too much longer.
Yeah. Hold on, Bama.
Let's see. Not much else. Michigan upset 10th-ranked Penn State, which has to be incredibly demoralizing for Penn State after how everything has gone so far for Michigan this year. That's pretty wild in itself. Other than that, though, not much really to speak of. Also, for the record, I am very bitter about Saturday, and I will not be talking about that game for a while.
That's good, because I was going to ask, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm very bitter.
I love college football.
Extremely bitter off that shit.
All right, any more college football?
No, we can move on to the pros.
Okay, NFL week 3. Let's see, what do we got here?
Pain, probably.
Chicago Bears lost 34-10 to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah, what'd I say?
That was a Sunday night game, right?
I believe it was, yes. Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Yeah, because again, everyone kind of thought the Bears would be good again this year. They missed the playoffs in the last week of the season.
They did that year. No. That was the year after.
Oh, yeah.
07, I think they went 7-9, and they were just very mediocre coming off the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. No, the pain comes a year later when you lose in the last week to the fucking Houston Texans.
Yes. New England Patriots improved to 3-0 with the 38-7 win over the Buffalo Bills, who are 0-3. Randy Moss, 2 more touchdowns. Tom Brady, 4 more touchdowns. So he is on pace, you know?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Going to demolish the record.
He did not lead the NFL in passing yards this week, though. Do you know who did?
David Garrard.
John Kitna.
Oh, that was going to be like fourth.
446 against the Eagles in that game where Kevin Curtis had 221 receiving yards.
For the Eagles, or was he with the Lions at this point?
Curtis was with the Eagles.
John Kitna.
Oh, Kitna was with the Lions, yeah. Okay. Kitna was with the Lions. It's actually... So this year, the Lions, I remember they went 8-8, and they had a lot of hype going into 2008, which, of course, was the year that they went winless. Mm-hmm. So this is actually a bit of a building block year for Detroit, or at least it looks that way in Calvin Johnson's first year. Unfortunately, year two is absolutely awful. Let's see if I can find anything else notable from the NFL from week 3. Willie Parker led all rushers with 133 yards.
What a name.
There were a couple other 100-yard rushers, Adrian Peterson, Lawrence Maroney, Ronnie Brown, Brian Westbrook, Steven Jackson, Lamont Jordan, who I think is about to have a 1,000-yard season this year, had 121 yards for the Raiders in their win over the Browns. Marion Barber rushed for 102 yards against the Bears.
Rest in peace.
TJ Houshmandzadeh had 141 receiving yards.
TJ, who's your mama?
And Anquan Boldin had 181 in a loss against the Ravens.
Also, yeah, it sounds about right for the mid-2000s Cardinals.
In the game against the Vikings and the Chiefs, the leading passer was Damon Heward with 206 yards. Kelly Holcomb only had 169 for Minnesota. Jesus.
Hell yeah. And then in the Monday Night Football game, the Titans defeated the Saints 31-14. Saints are 0-3 on the year.
That's not looking good for either investment on the Bears or the Saints right now.
Drew Brees had 4 interceptions. Vince Young had 2 touchdown passes, so good for him.
He did to let's see who caught them. Looks like it was Lendale White, or I'm sorry, it was Brandon Jones and Bo Scaife.
I wouldn't have been able to answer either of those because I don't know a single. I've never heard of a single Tennessee Titans receiver since Derek Mason.
Fair. They did have Eric Moulds at this point and Justin Gage, former Mizzou star.
Respect it. I was going to say too. Ooh, wow, that's a name. I was going to say respect to AJ Brown. You weren't a Titan. You were just in captivity.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair. All right. Back to Raw. September 24th from Milwaukee. Coach and Vince announced that Carlito and Vince will be facing Triple H in a handicap cage match tonight. Vince sends Hornswoggle on a date with Melina to get him away. Cena comes out. He's mad, tries to attack them both, but they escape. And Vince says that Cena will relinquish the title to Coach tonight. Hardcore Holly's back. He is in action against Cody Rhodes. He picks up a win with an Alabama Slam, and pretty soon they will be a tag team.
That's a waste.
One of the greatest angles that they've run of this era occurs at Night of Champions 2008.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wait. That's the only reason I actually like. I know I never liked the tag team, but the payoff to getting Cody to where he needs to be.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I like.
Randy Orton is proud of himself for what he did last week, and John better get used to the feeling he's going to beat him senseless at No Mercy. Ron Simmons defeats Santino when Santino gets counted out like a coward, and that makes Ron Simmons go damn. Melina tells Jillian she agreed to go on a date with Hornswoggle so she could get another shot at the championship. The Highlanders are still around, and they would like a shot at the tag titles.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Carlito and Vince against Triple H in the cage. Triple H is busy beating down Carlito, and while he's doing that, Vince climbs out of the cage and gets the win. Highlanders attack London and Kendrick as they're facing Cade Murdoch, so they're going to get their title shot one way or another.
Good for them.
Vince is about to be heading out. Coach tells him Triple H is looking all over for him, so he better hurry and get out of there. But eventually Triple H finds him, challenges him to a match next week. Vince won't do it, but eventually Triple H convinces him. So we got Vince against Triple H next week.
What's the Monday night game, I wonder?
That's a great question. Probably something better than Vince and Triple H.
Saints, yeah.
The week four Monday night game is Patriots-Bengals.
Well, that tracks.
Yep. Yeah, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, I'll take that. Randy Moss versus Chad Ochocinco. Yeah, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Shelton Benjamin and Beth Phoenix defeat Jeff Hardy and Candice Michelle, who they build Candice as Milwaukee's own Candice Michelle and then had her lose, which
just so checks out.
No
so
reason for that.
Mid-2000s WWE.
Then we get a very interesting video where there's a bunch of computer code on the screen, and it ends with Save Us 222. So interesting.
What? We'll see if that becomes what's anything. That going to be?
We'll have to see.
I will say off the bat, this caught your attention.
Oh yes,
this caught your eye, even if you didn't know exactly what it was. Because I mean, I feel like I was kind of like in the weeds for a couple weeks, but I was still just very intrigued by what was this? What were they trying to? What do they want me to decipher? Payoff was really good.
Coach comes out for Cena to relinquish his title. Cena comes out and Coach says if Cena is respectful and apologizes, maybe he won't have to relinquish. Cena doesn't do that, so Coach goes to strip him. But the bell rings. By order of Mr. McMahon, Cena won't be stripped, and Cena and Coach are wrestling in a tables match. So Cena puts him through the table right away, and Hornswoggle comes out, and it turns out that was the Mr. McMahon who made the match, which is actually pretty funny.
Agree.
And that was Raw. Okay. On to ECW from Indianapolis.
Yes.
Kevin Thorne got pinned in the triple threat, so it's Elijah Burke against Tommy Dreamer next week, with the winner facing CM Punk at No Mercy. Mike Knox defeats Nunzio. Miz defeats Silas Young. And CM Punk defeats Matt Stryker in a non-title match and then gets attacked by Viscera after.
So SmackDown leads off with Vicky Guerrero as the general manager, since Teddy Long is dead, or is presumed incapacitated after his heart attack. Interesting how that happens, but more on that later. Victoria defeated Tori Wilson in a singles match to start off the in-ring portion of the show. MVP was then there for the VIP lounge. It's his one-year anniversary on SmackDown. Matt Hardy played a highlight video, but instead it showed him getting set on fire or being knocked out by Evander Holyfield. Matt is then removed, but as he left, he got MVP a match with King tonight, so that will be eventful later. Seth Colombo defeated Kenny Dykstra in a match that happens when you get rid of WWE Velocity.
Yep.
Jesse and Festus are finally coming around next week. And then we got an interview about the Punjabi prison match with Cole and Batista. And The Undertaker will, of course, return later tonight to wrestle Mark Henry. And in that aforementioned match, King defeated MVP.
He did. And then JBL's in the ring to interview Rey Mysterio after last week's interview didn't go great. Rey says that JBL's jealous that Rey can still wrestle and JBL has to sit on the sidelines and talk about it. JBL tells Ray to focus on his match with Great Khali next week and then cheap shots him, but Ray hits a 619, but then Finlay attacks Ray afterwards. Vicky gets hornswoggled to surrender the Cruiserweight Championship, and we'll never see that belt again. So,
nope.
Kind of a bummer.
Thank you.
The history, I guess, because they did technically have the WCW lineage, and like that had cool stuff, that had mm-hmm. Any stuff, but it's not like they've been doing anything with it of note.
Yeah.
Like Chavo's dad won it.
And now it's so useless. Yeah. To have a division that's completely siphoned off from everybody else, because you know nobody cares about it. I don't mm-hmm. think it's not like WCW days where the hook was great wrestling. You got great wrestling all over the board now. So
yeah
good riddance.
Okay. So Jamie Noble defeats Shannon Moore. Cole interviews Great Khali about the Punjabi prison, and then Undertaker versus Mark Henry gets underway with 5 minutes left in the show. They kind of just do their big moves at each other, and then Undertaker hits a choke slam and gets the win shortly later. So that was SmackDown. All right. On to the next week. Did we have more college football to do real quick?
Yeah, let me look up and let me get back there. Sorry, I had switched away. Let's see. Okay. So we're starting things off here with a top 25 upset. On Friday night, South Florida defeated fifth ranked West Virginia 21-13. So a bit of a shakeup in the Big East. Moving on elsewhere, Cal defeated Oregon at Autzen 31-24. So the sixth ranked Cal Bears will likely be going up even further now after pulling off that win. Fourth-ranked Florida, however, will be falling after losing to Auburn 20-17 at the Swamp. Let's see, moving along here. Hawaii, they will soon be in the news later when they get to the Sugar Bowl. They won once again 48-20. Seventh-ranked Texas got blown out 41-21 against Kansas State. LSU, still ranked number two, defeated Tulane 34-9. See, 10th-ranked Rutgers lost to Maryland 34-24. Will not be the last we hear of Rutgers, of course, this year. More on that later on this season. Southern Cal defeated Washington in Seattle 27-24. They are still the number one team in the country. Be interesting to see if that will be maintained next week, even though they got into a
nail biter. It's funny to look back and do this because you completely forgot how dominant USC was for mm-hmm. a portion of the season, and then all unraveled.
Yep. But yeah, though, that's so another relatively uneventful week of college football this week. So, yeah.
Yes. I believe the MLB postseason field is set as well.
Mm-hmm.
2007. We're going to have Boston playing the Angels. We're going to have Cleveland playing the Yankees. We're going to have Arizona playing the Cubs. And we're going to have Philadelphia playing Colorado. So more on that, I guess, if we must.
Listen, here's how it goes. Cubs, Yankees, yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
See you in the World Series, friends.
All right. Top five songs, up to number five is Bed by Jay Holiday.
That was this time.
Staying at four is Big Girls Don't Cry. Staying at three is The Way I Are. Stronger is down to two, and Crank That is back to number one.
Very quickly on Bed by Jay Holiday, if you are of a certain age that went to high school around this time, you may or may not have either lost your virginity or dry humped for the first time to Jay Holiday's Bed. It's funny that was top five.
Top five movies, 310 to Yuma is down to five. Good Luck Chuck is down to four. Resident Evil is down to three. The Kingdom debuts at number two, and The Game Plan debuts at number one.
What a wholesome movie. I love The Game Plan. This might be my favorite rock movie.
Really?
He was doing the bag for a minute of, you know, either I'm action or I'm in a family friendly comedy or like an inspirational movie, because it was kind of like all he could do for a point in time. And I think him working with this kid, and it's in a football setting, which he's used to. He had good supporting cast, Morris Chestnut, and I'm forgetting who else was kind of on that football team with him. But I think he was just very loose. It was fun seeing him get to like interact and be a dad was very wholesome. So yeah, I love the game plan.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. All right. So into week four of the NFL, Chicago Bears took a 37-27 loss to the Detroit Lions. 1-3 on the year. Lions are 3-1.
Listen, if you're getting swept by the Lions in a season, your season sucks.
The Lions scored 34 of their 37 points in the fourth quarter.
Why me?
Let's say it looks like a pick six.
Yep. And who's the starting quarterback? Is Rex?
Brian Greasy.
It was Brian Greasy, yep. He had three picks. One of them was returned for a touchdown. It looks like the Lions also returned the onside kick for a touchdown after the Bears scored late in the game. But there was a Devin Hester kick return touchdown in this game, so it's not all bad.
They gave Brian Greasy, from what I remember, a three-year contract.
Yeah.
Coming into that season to fight for the number one job. He's gonna have a game in this season that's gonna make Bear fans forget that he was actually trash as a Bear.
They're not a very well run team.
No, they've never been.
Yeah. Let's see what else stood out from the NFL this week. The Patriots, we'll talk about them in a minute because they're on Monday Night Football. Yep. The Giants pulled out a 16-3 win over the Eagles on Sunday Night Football, which that sounds
would
right.
Would you like to know the most eye popping thing from that game?
What's that?
Sure. OC Umanyora, 6 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that game.
Mathias Kiwanuka also had 3 himself. So
that's a name.
Mathias
Kiwanuka.
They killed Philadelphia. Also, the Giants, after starting off 0-2, are suddenly 2-2. Mm-hmm. They last week, I forgot, against – That's right. The game against Washington, they won on a goal line stand.
Oh, yeah.
That came down to the final play, Liddell Betts. So they got in to the – Washington got into Giant territory at the one-yard line because Jason Campbell found Antoine Randall down the middle, 20 yards. They spiked it. They got an incomplete pass to Mike Sellers. Liddell Betts got nothing. He was tackled by Kavika Mitchell. And then James Butler came in. They stood him up. And because Washington, I remember – they wore their throwback unis that day. They had it was the yellow helmets with the red R, obviously standing for a team name that doesn't exist anymore.
I was gonna say can't wear throwback unis now.
Yep.
No, although that would be the tamest of probably the most tame throwback uni that they have in their repertoire.
Well, yeah.
Yes. So, but this is the start of something there. In East Rutherford is what I'm getting at. Next week they play the Jets. In the MetLife, in the soon-to-be MetLife Bowl, the Giants Stadium Bowl. So they will continue to be a team to watch.
So crazy that this all stemmed from was it 9-7 or 10-6?
They went 10-6.
Okay.
They went 9-7 in 2011 and actually had a negative point differential.
9-7 in 2011. Oh my god, that's so crazy.
And it appears that Week 4's leading rusher was Justin Fargas. Who had 179 yards?
What a name! Yards. My goodness.
Joseph Addai was number 2 with with 136. Patrick Creighton, 7 catches for a 184 and 2 touchdowns against the Rams. Also, this was you've ever seen the play for Tony Romo where the snap goes way over his head, goes back and gets it, and then runs all the way back to the line of scrimmage. This is the game that happens.
The Rams. Real quick, I do want to just mention Justin Fargas. Shout out to Justin Fargas. His dad is Antonio Fargas, who was Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch in the 70s. And he was also indirectly referenced in a Simpsons movie because it was called Old Starsky and Hutches. And also mentioned him because he's married to Nikki Caldwell. Former head basketball coach of UCLA women's and LSU. She's also the current president of the Las Vegas Aces, who have a championship under her reign, and she's going for number 2 tonight. So,
oh shit, yeah, that's actually that's all cool. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
All right. So, New England Patriots improved to 4-0 on the year, 34-13 win against the Bengals in Cincinnati. Another touchdown for Randy Moss. 3 more for Tom Brady. Sammy Morris had 117 rushing yards. It's kind of a win that we'll see a lot of from New England this year, where they're just firing on all cylinders and ready to go. And,
It'll only start to get more interesting for New England. Really, that Baltimore game is what is probably their most thrilling of the regular season until the Giants game. But yeah, it's obviously, and you have to, we'll get into this later on in the season, but this becomes such a huge storyline. They flex them into Sunday Night Football the 1 week against Buffalo. They kicked Buffalo's ass. They still got all the attention because they were going undefeated and they were the closest team to ever do it. So it's definitely one of those things, like, you had to kind of be there to really, really experience like how big this was becoming.
Is this the year they beat Tennessee by 55 or whatever?
No, that was it. That was in 09.
Oh, okay.
That was in 09.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That was in 09. Terry Collins was a Titan. They wore their throwback uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. On to Raw from Cleveland. Vince is here, says he guarantees that he will beat Triple H tonight. Also, he says that Triple H versus Mr. McMahon is worthy of headlining WrestleMania, which, you know, not really. He's got three guys in the ring that he said he was going to warm up against, but then Umaga comes back and beats them all down instead. So Umaga is back from his suspension. Jeff Hardy, Paul Lunn, and Brian Kendrick defeat Shelton Benjamin, Lance Cade, and Trevor Murdoch. I don't know if Charlie Haas is injured now or what the deal is, but Charlie Haas has not been around lately. We will see him shortly, though, when the Mr. Perfect DVD is about to come out.
Yes.
William Regal's backstage, and he's also back, I guess. I don't know if he was also suspended or what the deal is there, but he's back now. Vince asked him to look after Hornswoggle tonight, saying that he's personally responsible for him, and Regal agreed, even though really didn't want to, and they turned his back, and Hornswoggle disappeared. Randy Orton is being interviewed via satellite. He's already in Chicago for No Mercy. He doesn't want to be around John Cena because John Cena is not mentally stable.
Real quick, just because Joe mentioned Brian Greasy. How many picks did he have in that game? Four, you said?
He had three, I believe.
Three. That's more than enough.
Yeah. Let's see. So Regal's still looking for Hornswoggle, and he bumps into the Highlanders, who once again say that they would like a shot at the tag titles. I mean, fine, give it to him. I don't know. Who cares? Hardcore Holly defeats Cody Rhodes yet again. And then we get the Triple H against Vince match. Vince comes out and shows replays of Triple H beating Umaga with a sledgehammer to kind of remind him of what happened. Vince kept cheating. Carlito kept interfering because Carlito's also the referee. So, you know, shenanigans. And Triple H hits Carlito and he gets disqualified. Umaga comes in and beats up Triple H, but... And then Carlito knocks him down, and because Umaga was going to do the Samoan Spike, but Carlito knocked him out of the way, and then Umaga got mad at Carlito. Carlito ran away, and Triple H used the time to get a sledgehammer and was going to attack Umaga, but Umaga got pulled out of the ring by Vince. So John Cena's not happy that everyone is saying that Randy Orton's going to beat him. He says that he'll be ready to go Sunday. He will not. Real unfortunate. Mickey defeats Melina after Hornswoggle gets involved and then chases her in the ring. And
Hold on. Why are we forgetting Morella at the movies?
Yeah, that's true. We do have to talk about Morella at the movies. Santino
this is one of the funnier segments of the whole show.
That's true. Santino came out and started to review The Condemned, which is available on DVD now. Said that it was fine, but it would have been special if someone with actual charisma was in it, like Santino. He showed a clip of it with himself cut in instead. It was actually pretty funny. Val Venus came out and said he had some experience in the movies and offered Maria a spot in his movie, and then Santino attacked him.
Yeah, he also mentioned Val Venus's parody of Shrek, "You son of a gun, I can't believe what you did to that poor donkey."
Yeah. That was good. That's good stuff. All right. Yeah, so Mickey defeats Melina, Hornswoggle gets involved, you know, whatever. Regal's still looking for Hornswoggle, and he finally has found him. And Dr. Steve-O shows up because he's got the Dr. Steve-O show coming up. And Steve-O found Ron Simmons and said that he would toughen him up if he wanted. And then Ron Simmons chased him away. Good stuff. The Jackass guys were supposed to be plugging all this at SummerSlam, but it was not the right time to be involved with WWE. But six weeks later, it's fine.
Yes.
Everyone forgot. It's fine. We get John Cena against Mr. Kennedy, and John Cena does a hip toss and his entire pectoral tears, still finishes the match, you know, still, does the post-match beatdown and all that. Cause Randy Orton is actually there and gets an RKO on the table with a torn pectoral, which I imagine felt great.
Oh, God, that's so painful. It had to be.
And yeah, Randy got down and did the 10 count and said that he would win the last man standing match. And that was Raw.
It's awful, of course, because it ends Cena's long reign, and I don't think we enjoyed it enough in the moment. We didn't have an opportunity to enjoy it enough in the moment because of who was thrown in front of Cena's face.
Yeah.
We will not see a reign quite like this until Roman. I'm bypassing Punk because, you know, I don't Punk at it wasn't at any point. He wasn't at any point the main guy in the company.
Yeah.
So we won't see a run quite like this one with the championship until 2020. But like, it's upsetting because you couldn't even get it to the point where Orton takes the belt off. And I don't know if that was the, you know, I haven't listened to Bruce talk about it. Maybe not. I don't even know if he's covering at this point, so whatever. But, you know, that would have been the guy I would have chosen. If you wanted to reset, get us ready for next WrestleMania season, I would have easily had, you know, Orton take the belt off of him. To not even get to that point just sucked. Because Now we go into No Mercy as we're getting ready to talk about, and it was just a confluence of nobody knew what the fuck to do. Mm-hmm. Vince didn't know what the fuck to do with himself. And he ruined a show that may have had a smidgen of potential. Maybe had a smidgen potential because, I mean, the thing he got on SmackDown wasn't really that great and wasn't going to sell it. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, on to ECW here. Let's see. So ECW from Dayton. Vince in the ring to start the show. Showed video of Cena getting injured and said he had surgery. Be out 6 to 8 months. So Cena gets stripped of the title. He'll be a new WWE champion at No Mercy and history will be made. Shortly later, CM Punk comes out, addresses Viscera attacking him last week, says that he has his respect and his attention. And then Viscera and Stryker come on the big screen, say that Viscera wants the ECW championship. Matt Stryker wishes CM Punk the best of luck in his next match taking place right now. And Punk defeats Mike Knox. So easy enough there. We get the Elimination Chase Finals. Tommy Dreamer takes down Elijah Burke to win a shot at the ECW title. Except it's not actually over because Viscera is also in the Elimination Chase and beats Dreamer. And they're going to do Viscera against Punk on Sunday.
Quick question. At what point does the ECW Championship stop being a major world championship?
I guess when Vince had it, probably. I mean,
probably when Kane beats Chavo Guerrero.
Yeah, that's true.
In that squash match that no one gives a shit about. I mean, yeah, they tried it with Christian and Swagger in 2009 and Matt Hardy and whatnot. And, like, it was fun for a little bit, but, like, it definitely starts in 2007, and I think it just face plants in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say it died a year ago, but
That's also fair. I mean, You know, There's, I don't think there's any wrong answer here as far as this era of ECW resulting in that.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you know, Vince having it was really stupid. Like, Punk having it is cool, but would his career have been the same without this run? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, yeah.
Too good not to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on to SmackDown.
Yes, on to SmackDown. From Dayton, still from Dayton, Ohio. Two dark matches, by the way. The Major Brothers, who are on their way, defeated Dave Taylor and Paul Burchill. And Funaki defeated a man named Mike Cool. Not sure who that is, but apparently he made it eventually to FCW, so good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
In the ring, to begin, we had Batista and the Great Khali. Batista came out, hyped up the Punjabi Prison match a bit, said while the Great Khali will have home field advantage, you know, he'll still be there, he'll be willing to fight. Great Khali came up on screen, cut a promo, and his translator told us what he would say. And essentially, you know, they're going to fight at No Mercy in the Punjabi Prison match.
Yeah, I have to ask why they would do another one. You know, the first one was really bad, and no one really wanted to see it. Now they're just going to do it again.
Not learning from your mistakes is a 2000s WWE trait.
That's true. Good point.
In essence, yeah, I would agree with that notion. And so... first match of the night, Chuck Palumbo defeated Ace Steel.
Hell yeah.
So that was a thing that happened. And Chris Masters attacked Chuck Palumbo and put him in the master block afterwards because we're still doing this.
Yeah. SmackDown needs some more people.
SmackDown is rough. Jamie Noble defeated Jimmy Wang Yang in a singles match.
SmackDown's rough.
We had a tag title match. Shockingly, Matt Hardy MVP defeated Deuce and Domino to retain their titles. They had a push-up contest inside the ring between Hardy and MVP before the match. They got the 30 push-ups. MVP knocked Matt Hardy's hand out from under him to win the tainted victory. King defeated Kenny Dykstra, who had Victoria at his side. Backstage, Vicky Guerrero was talking to the new yet-to-be-named Chrissy Vane about Teddy Long. MVP and Matt Hardy bursted in, and Vicky booked Hardy and MVP against the Brothers of Destruction, and The Undertaker.
You want to talk about forgotten WWE names? Chrissy Vane.
Yes.
That's one.
Yep. Sure was. Jesse and Festus make their debut, defeating Chad Collier and Mike Toller. And then Rey Mysterio picks up a win over the Great Khali by disqualification after Fit Finlay interferes, and they double team him, and then Batista comes down and makes a save. And that's your go home SmackDown for No Mercy.
All right. No Mercy, Chicago, Illinois. First pay-per-view since WrestleMania 22. Last pay-per-view Chicago will get until Judgment Day 09. It stinks. It really fucking stinks.
Yeah, it's not good. And I mean, I think obviously, Cena going out didn't help, but it's kind of just an episode of Raw.
Yeah, that was the complaint at the time. That like, afterwards, that it felt like a legitimately felt like just another 3-hour episode of Raw, because it began with a promo,
mm-hmm.
and it ended with an angle and a match, and they had an angle go on throughout the entire pay per view that made it feel like it was a show, mm-hmm. and not a pay per view.
Vince did mention something about how, some fans are still rooting for the Cubs in his opening promo, which, not necessary. I think they were gone by this point. Just no reason for that. Also, yeah, some Y2J chants, so people had started to figure that out already.
Yeah, Chicago on their smart game.
Yep.
Here.
Yeah. That's true.
Big time.
For the record, if you're wondering what's happening in sports, we'll fill you in when we come back next time, but let's continue. Yeah.
So Vince presented the new WWE champion, Randy Orton, and Orton holds up the title. It's the first time winning the WWE championship. He won the World Heavyweight Championship 3 years before, but now he's got this championship. So good for him.
For the second time, Randy Orton finding a title in the trash.
Exactly. Regal says that Orton does have to defend the title tonight, but Orton can pick who he wants it to be. Again, more Y2J chance. And then eventually Triple H comes out. And he basically goads Orton into facing him. And wouldn't you know it, Triple H gets the victory on a roll-up.
He does. He does.
So Triple H is the champion now.
Yes, Triple H is the champion now, 20 minutes after Orton was named the WWE champion.
Yeah, does that technically count?
It does, unfortunately.
It does. Yeah, it does.
That's so dumb.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rey Mysterio's 2-hour reign on Raw.
Yeah, but that was for the whole night, at least. I mean, that's stupid, too. They shouldn't have even done it like that.
Right. Well, wasn't Dolph Ziggler champion for, 20 minutes?
That's true.
Yeah, he was.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, it was a good match to Triple H and Orton.
Yeah, it was.
To
their credit. I mean, it was a good match. It was just,
Need to do that. We get a WrestleMania 24 commercial coming to you from Orlando. An unadvertised bonus match where we get Jeff Hardy, Paul London, and Brian Kendrick against Lance Cade, Trevor Murdoch, and Kennedy.
And they booed Kennedy because he was from rival Green Bay, and the Bears were actually playing the Packers that night, if I recall correctly.
I think they were, yes.
Which is kind of funny.
Cade, Murdoch, and Kennedy get the victory. Triple H is in the back with the title. He comes across Batista with his title. Batista told Triple H it's easier to win than it is to hold on to it. Triple H wishes him good luck in the Punjabi prison match, and Vince comes up and gets in Triple H's face and says that he's going to face Umaga for the WWE Championship. Okay.
CM Punk versus Big Daddy V lasts 1:37 after a disqualification. That meant nothing.
This elimination chase thing was actually a pretty cool idea, and then they undid it all just to do this.
Yep.
Like, I'm not saying CM Punk and Tommy Dreamer would have been, this remarkable match, but, you give him 8 minutes or whatever, it's... I don't know, man. I also never really got it.
Hometown. I don't understand. Why would you do that?
I never got it with Viscera, even when he was Mabel.
No one ever got it with him.
Big guy who can't work that they always pushed way too hard.
Yeah.
So he gets pumpkins beat down after. So that's necessary. Not ideal.
Necessary.
We get a pizza eating contest between Matt Hardy and MVP.
Deep dishes.
Yeah.
They go, of course.
Do their thing, and Matt throws up.
Yeah, MVP said that the pizza is one of the reasons why Chicago is one of the fattest cities. He ripped on Maria's IQ.
He's got a point, but, you know, it's good stuff. So
Kaz said Matt threw up like a baby.
Yeah. JR was laughing because of the representation of SmackDown. Fair. Jeez. I mean, they'll get the last laugh when they draft him over there next year, but, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, now we get Triple H against Umaga. And Triple H is actually able to overcome him and gets the win in 6 minutes. So he retains his title. Good for him. I don't know why you would really do it that way, but, you know.
I think at this point, Umaga's starting to fade a little bit. He's not as hot as he was at the start of the year, so it's kind of hard for everyone to buy into him.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So,
yeah, that's the trouble they face now with him.
We get another Second Coming video. Wonder who it's going to be.
Yeah, I wonder.
Interesting. That's time for Finlay against Rey Mysterio, which really the one match on this show that you should go out of your way to watch because it's pretty good. Doesn't really have a finish, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't have a finish.
That's the upsetting part.
They go hard for about 10 minutes. I think they put it on YouTube like last week. So if you got 10 minutes, just go check it out. It's a good match. I mean, you've seen enough of these two guys that you know what they're going to do. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. Like, again, just wish it had a finish. But I don't know if they're going to keep it going or what. I think they do. I don't really remember. Triple H is in the trainer's room getting his ribs iced up. Vince says that he's had a hell of a night, but it's not done yet. He's still going to have a last man standing match, and it's going to be against Randy Orton, which maybe you could have just done that, you know, announced that in the beginning and not had all this other stuff.
Makes you think.
Beth Phoenix wins the women's championship over Candice Michelle in about 5 minutes. Good for Beth. I mean, she's obviously quite good.
As someone who was not like the biggest Beth Phoenix fan, you know, in this time period, thank God you needed somebody that was actually credible to have that title. And at least Beth was credible with it.
You know, she does the intro now for the Rated R Superstar, Adam Copeland's
theme. You think you knew him? Yeah, congrats. He's still Edge. He's always going to be Edge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Punjabi prison time. Well, it was better, I guess, than the first one.
Sure. In what aspect, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, relative to what standing?
Just really no reason to do it. It's also impossible to film because it's two cages inside each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see anything the whole time.
Maybe in this day and age where they have that like overhead jib, they can try to make it work, but even then, it's not a fun watch.
I remember because they did one with Jinder and Randy, I believe, right? And that one was fine. Kali comes out at the end and celebrates, which is very funny. But yeah, it's not a good concept. I hope they don't try it again. I know for a fact that they do try it again. But Batista's still the champion, so that's really what matters here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Randy Orton, Triple H, last man standing. It was actually very good. Like, I can't even, I would have probably not done all the other Triple H stuff and just done this.
And I guess just make it for the title. Instead of Vince just handing the belt to Randy Orton, Triple H comes out and challenges him and only have one champion the entire night and he has to win it. He doesn't get awarded it. He has to win it. It's not that hard. He made it more convoluted than it had to be.
And really, like, the first Randy match and the Umaga match only total, like, 20 minutes. So I guess with entrances and stuff, that adds about 30 minutes to the show. But you couldn't have found 30 minutes somewhere else. You couldn't have had, like, The Undertaker come out and do whatever or wrestle Mark Henry again or something. I mean, I don't know. Like,
there's a way to make up the time that you just wasted on two matches and a segment and in backstage segments.
And I get to, like, they had to basically probably rewrite this whole show probably Tuesday, you know, after Cena got hurt. But still, like, it's just a couple things you could have tightened up and the whole show, I think, would have really flowed a lot better instead of it just being, you know, this. And I don't know. Like, again, I think Triple H and Randy's second match is good. The Last Man Standing, it's very good. But, like, it felt kind of watered down by that point.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. We are out of time. We'll come back and wrap up the month of October next time you see us. We don't have a pay-per-view until Crown Jewel, right? Or whatever the fuck it's being called.
Yes. So 2 weeks from this Saturday.
Okay, so we'll start to look forward to that. We know a couple of matches and where they're going, at least in terms of Roman Reigns. And then Logan Paul, our favorites, back this week. So sure, we have lots to talk about in the actual ring, not outside of it, next time we chit chat. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Rob's at Robert O'Neill 31. I am at Cameron Santo. Follow us on X. Finally remember that, and Instagram at barbershairnet. That's pretty much all we got for today, because my brain's fried and I gotta get back to work. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we will see you guys next time right here on the Ruthless Aggression.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.